It is the day after Royal Rumble 2018. It is January the 29th, 2018, episode 157 of the Gerwig Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. And I am Steve Gerwig of www.gerwick.net, your pro wrestling news source since 1997. It's been a little while since we've been on the show, but allow me, as always, to tag in my longtime tag team partner, the one, the only, Frank D.
Yes, yes, the band is finally back together, and I'm telling you, Steve, right now, it's just too sweet. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. We've been away for a little while, but how's everything going with Frank D and the wrestling business since we've been away?
All right, well, I'll tell you what, man, everything is going fine with myself. The family's all healthy. Everything is going well. The wrestling business right now has seen a big, big boom. If you watch New Japan, Ring of Honor, the independents, everything is, on fire right now. WWE, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to get into, the Royal Rumble. That'll be the main topic today, but we got a couple other topics we'll discuss as well. And I don't know about you, Frank, because on a year-to-year basis, we do so many pay-per-views a year. There's a pay-per-view every month or a special event. Now, I guess technically it's not a pay-per-view anymore, though I think somewhere you still can order the traditional, $49 or $59 for one show. But what I look forward to every year, even when wrestling is slumping, even when the roster is not sparkling, even when the product is pretty stale and dull as it has been for a long time now, I always look forward to the Royal Rumble match itself. It is the precursor. It's the kickoff to the WrestleMania season. And I was looking forward to it again last night. I don't know, Frank, does the Royal Rumble still have the same luster to you, or is it getting a little watered down over the years?
You know, at one point, Steve, we used to actually call the Royal Rumble the Royal Fumble because they would screw it up. But, honestly, man, I still think that the intrigue is there. People still want to watch to see who's going to be coming out. And there's always that number 30 spot that everybody goes crazy for because they want to see who actually drew number 30. So I think that that's still there, but I do think that some of the shine has been taken off of it, just like some of the shine has been taken off of the Survivor Series and WrestleMania.
I would agree with that, but still, I was looking forward to the Royal Rumble last night, and we'll talk about the show itself. But since we've been away, the women's revolution has continued. It met with mixed reviews. I know at least on Gerwick.net when they announced that for the first time ever, we're going to have the historic first women's Royal Rumble match, which we got a chance to see last night, which we'll talk about. I don't know, Frank, what was your opinion? Was it time for a women's Royal Rumble? Some people were very critical of the roster. They don't have enough women. Could they pull it off? And I guess just in general, when they announced that they were going to do a women's Royal Rumble, what was your initial reaction?
I was not surprised. The rumors have been out there for a little while that's the reason they brought up Absolution and the Riot Squad was to strengthen the roster because they knew that that's what they were going to be doing. So I was not surprised by it at all. You know, it started with the women's revolution, then it became the women's evolution, as they like to call it on WWE television. And the Royal Rumble is no different. And I can see them going further, maybe even with making, you know, Survivor Series a bigger deal this year and having, you know, a traditional women's Survivor Series match as well on the card. So it was bound to happen, Steve. I mean, they've done it with the Hell in a Cell. They've had the women out there main event Raw. I know, like you just said, that there were some people out there that weren't really into it. They weren't feeling it. They were saying that it shouldn't have happened. But nonetheless, it did. And this is where we're going at this point.
And do you see ever in the future, I know one thing that's been discussed, at least I saw in an interview last week where somebody brought up they'd like to see the women's tag team division. Do you ever see them adding a women's tag team division in WWE?
I can see it happening, yeah. I think that they need to because they have – you need, you know, two main focal points fighting for the women's championship, and you need something else for the other ladies to go after. So I can see that happening. I can also see them bringing in a secondary championship for the women that could be kind of like the Intercontinental and the U.S. championship as well. I can see WWE doing a lot of things with the women's roster. Don't be surprised if they actually have maybe an all-women's weekly show added to the network.
Yeah, that was what the original idea for SmackDown, wasn't it?
Could be. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so, well, Let's get into the Royal Rumble itself. That was it's fresh in our minds, less than 24 hours, and I guess we'll go with kind of initial reactions to the show. As always, Frank, when you have a show like this, it's 4 hours long. They started the kickoff show at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So essentially, if you turned it on at 5 o'clock, it's past 11 o'clock Eastern time before it all is said and done, which is 6 hours. A really long show. I know by the end of the night, I was very drained, but my initial thoughts was overall, I liked the show. It was pretty good. It has hits and misses like any show. The Universal Championship match wasn't very good, but as a whole, as I summarized the event, not going, match by match, I thought it was a pretty good show overnight. And here I am today, in a pretty good mood, wanting to do a GRP, because overall, I really thought it was a pretty good show.
Well, outside of the triple threat match for the Universal Championship, which I did not like that match, I thought overall it was a good show. And I'm not going to sit up here and complain and really bury it, because, listen, I got the network 2 months for free. So, listen, it is what it is. I thought it was a pretty good show. I was not into it in the beginning, but overall, I think they pulled it off.
And I got 3 free months. They must like me even better than you, Frank.
Well, touche. They got to try to bring back the jaded fan, and you see, the alienated fan, the disenfranchised fan who wants to go back to the glory days of the Monday Night War.
Yeah, it's a hard push. And boy, speaking of going back to the glory days, let's just do it here. Let's just throw a couple of thoughts here, because last week was the go-home show to Royal Rumble. It was the Raw 25, the 25th anniversary of Raw, and I know you and I were talking a little bit about doing a show last week, and boy, after watching that Raw 25 show, I thought, I don't really want to come on here and just start bashing things, but Frank, what was up with that show last week? I mean, it started off great with what you would expect, McMahon having their usual saga of family discord, and then out comes Stone Cold, and you got the Stone Cold Stunner on Shane and Vince, and you got the beers and everything. But, boy, after that, it just went downhill.
Yeah, it really did. First of all, I think what happened with the show was you had this show in two different locations. That was the first thing. Simulcasts are never good, okay? And I think that's what hurt it. I think that they should have done the show and made it special. It should have just been from the Manhattan Center. I think that's what they should have done. It should have been like basically an old school Raw. It's pretty much what they should have done there. And I think they tried to implicate some of that, but it came off terrible. And I really feel bad for people at the Manhattan Center, because, I mean, they got cruiserweight matches and they got to see, some of the stars, whatever, but it's just, they could have done more on that show. That show was not booked well at all. I don't know what WWE was going for there. And I'm going to tell you right now, Steve, the lack of pyrotechnics on that show is just crazy. I mean, you want to show this video package of the good old days back when Monday Night Raw was Raw as War and all that, and you want to show all these explosions going off and pyrotechnics, and I'm looking like now in 2018, you have none. You know what I'm saying? It looks really bad. And somebody even had a sign in the crowd that says, "Remember Pyro?"
Should have been "Got Pyro."
Exactly. So I don't know, man. I really feel bad for the people at Manhattan Center. I really did. But at the end of the day, I'm not spending $800 for a ticket to see some wrestling. It's just not going to happen.
I felt bad for not only the fans that's paid the money to sit in the Manhattan Center and essentially watch the show on a big screen that you could have watched for free at home or with your cable subscription, whatever. But I also felt really bad for Jim Ross, because I thought Jim Ross, bringing him back with the King to go back to the glory days when it was, weekly, it was JR and the King. And they sat there at that Manhattan Center, and yeah, there was that picture where it looked like they were falling asleep. And I know, JR and the King have said, they weren't sleeping, bad camera angle, whatever, but who could blame him for falling asleep, Frank? I was falling asleep.
Yeah, it was a wasted opportunity. It really was. It was wasted, period. I mean, they could add the King and JR doing a lot more stuff. And really, I mean, what they could have done, what I would have done is this. You could have had Michael Cole and Corey Graves and Booker T out there calling the new school superstars they have there in WWE, and then you have the last hour or so dedicated to the old school and had JR and King call that. That's what I would have done.
It seemed like that 8-woman tag match and the card game just went on forever. And then on
Yeah.
top of that, you brought back our guy Teddy Long for one segment, and Eric Bischoff, he comes out to wave. I mean,
Yeah.
after billing up, bringing all these guys back, all the general managers, they came out and waved, Frank. That was it.
I mean, it's funny that's funny as hell, man. It's like here's a guy in Bischoff, who took the war to WWE, and I mean, if they had gotten their way down there at WCW, there would have been no 25th anniversary of Raw. It just there would have been no Monday Night Raw. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be talking about it. And he comes back and he's waving and whatever. And I'm like, that's what you do with Eric Bischoff. You bring him back to wave. You bring him back to come out there in the ending segment of Raw with the Strowman Lesnar Kane confrontation. Just it was, a lot of people were wasted. I'll just put it like that. They were wasted.
He got to wave just like Johnny Ace. So,
Yeah, but at least he got a reaction.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that Raw 25 didn't do much for me, and boy, it just seemed like the show just kind of sputtered, and that was the go-home show for the Royal Rumble. But the Royal Rumble, let's get into.
Wait a second, Steve. Hold on. Hold on. What did you think about the cryptic the cryptic promo by The Undertaker?
What was he talking about? I mean,
I have no
he
idea.
essentially said nothing.
What I get from it, he essentially said that all the souls that he's defeated over the years, can they can finally now rest in peace. And I don't think that was a retirement.
No,
It,
no.
it's not. It wasn't a retirement speech. He's basically, I think he's basically saying they can all go to hell.
The only thing I guess he's officially retired is the glove and the hat.
Right. Well, I would have liked it better if the guy would have just came out dressed as a biker.
Yeah,
Undertaker.
yeah.
That would have made more sense to me. And you can't leave off before we talk about the Rumble, real quick. You can't leave off without talking about the Geriatric X out there.
Actually, I could.
Oh, you could. You want to?
Don't know. What do you want to say about it?
I don't know, man. I mean, it was cool seeing them back together again, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, how many times are we just gonna keep bringing these guys out there? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Yeah.
I know WWE's love affair. I mean, it was their show, and their love affair with D-Generation X. I was not a DX fan back in the day. I was an NWO fan, and majority of people out there in that crowd that night on Raw 25 in the Manhattan Center, they had on NWO shirts. Same thing with Barclays Center. I think they were thinking they were going to see the NWO, but they brought out DX. I mean, Scott Hall wasn't Scott Hall. He was Razor Ramon, but he was dressed like Scott Hall. So I don't know.
Well,
I didn't like the segment. The only thing I thought about the segment was is that it was the passing of a torch to the Bauer Club.
right.
That was it.
I tell you what, the people are expecting NWO. I mean, Kevin Nash did announce ahead of time he wasn't going to be there. He's recovering from knee surgery, and of
Exactly.
course, they weren't going to bring back Hulk Hogan, so
Oh, is he still banned?
he's still banned.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know you did a little recording that we put up on agerwick.net and our YouTube channel as well. You were talking that, Hulk Hogan should be back, and I don't know. I mean, he's been banned for a long time. It was seemed like that would have been the show to bring him back if you're going to bring him back at any point. This was the Raw 25th anniversary, and certainly you can't have Raw really without Hulk Hogan back in the day. And I don't know, he wasn't there.
Bring the guy back for Mania. That's what I would do at this point. Just bring him back for WrestleMania.
What are you going to do with him, though? I mean, just bring him back for an appearance?
Bring him back for an appearance.
Okay.
Let him go out there and do his thing. Look, and like I said before, man, it's okay. The dude says and so he said something. Yeah, he said something he shouldn't have said. But it's no different than anybody else saying it. So what's the problem? I don't really get the big deal here. I will say this. It sucked when it happened, but get over it. Okay, I mean, who cares at this point? I don't really care anymore. You know, did I boycott Hulk Hogan matches and all that shit when it happened? No. I was still watching Hollywood on the network. Big whoop-de-doo. The guy did it. It's done. So different than anybody else says working in the company that probably says it every day. So what's the problem?
True. I just thought if you're going to bring him back, that would have been the night because you're bringing back all these people and.
Well, but see, Hogan wasn't really associated with Raw like that.
Right.
He was associated with the other company. See, that's the name when you bring up like Razor Ramon or whatever, they were associated with Monday Night Raw for a long time. Hogan wasn't. Hogan was on like maybe the first couple episodes of Raw, and then he went to WCW after that. So he was affiliated with the other show.
That's true, but I thought if you're going to bring him back, now would have been the time, but it's not my call and.
Well, the last time we saw Hogan at WrestleMania, I believe was in New Orleans, wasn't it?
I don't know.
WrestleMania, I believe it was 30. Yeah.
You're the walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, I believe it was I believe it was in New Orleans. So that was the last time we saw him.
It's so odd. I'm sitting there watching Royal Rumble, and I'm thinking, who won last year? Who won 2014? Who was? I was like, well, if I was talking to Frank, he could tell me because you are the walking encyclopedia of wrestling trivia. So, but
I believe it was WrestleMania 30 we last saw Hogan at Mania.
and if not, somebody will definitely correct you because a lot of people are listening to the show today.
No, we hope so.
Absolutely. Because everybody's saying, where's the GRP? Here we are.
Now you're getting it.
Spread the word, baby. Spread the word. We're
Right.
back. All right. So let's get into the Royal Rumble. That was a little sidebar there with Raw 25. I had to throw it in there because, like you said, we were talking about maybe doing a show last week, and I was so disappointed with that show, and I thought I just didn't want to come out here and just bash the product, although it definitely deserved to be bashed. And then last week as well, the Vince McMahon announcement that bringing back the XFL, which we can talk about later. I don't want to talk about it right now, but I don't want to do a podcast too, just talk about the XFL and Raw. I mean, let's talk about something a little more upbeat, a little more positive. And of course, it was the Royal Rumble. It's the first big pay-per-view of the year. It's the road to WrestleMania. I think they said, what, 70 days? Actually, now it would be 69 as we do this recording until Royal Rumble, or excuse me, 69 days until WrestleMania itself in New Orleans. And I don't know, Frank, we're back to New Orleans again? Weren't we just there?
Yeah, that's the point I brought up about the Hulkster. He was at WrestleMania 30 when they had it in New Orleans, and that's the night also where the streak came to an end,
Absolutely.
and
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan became the world champion. So,
That's
yeah.
true. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Royal Rumble. 6 hour show. I didn't watch the whole pre-show. I watched some of it. I watched the Bobby Roode match. I actually watched the 205 live crew
Two o five
up.
live. See,
Yeah,
come
there we
on
go.
now.
There we
Don't
go.
watch.
Yeah, there we go. There's something for the blooper reel already.
Right.
I watched that to open the show, and then I'm passing. I'm doing errands. I'm running in and out and not paying real close. I got the show on, but then the glorious match came on. I watched that, and I don't know, just 2 hours of hype. I guess they have to do it. It's part of the network. They got to fill time, but it is what it is. I don't know. Does this really hype anybody? I mean, I always think back to the old 30-minute countdown shows where you'd watch it and you'd get hyped for the show and you'd have to plunk down your money at the last minute. I guess yesterday, what? A lot of fans got to see Royal Rumble for free on the trial. And
Right,
I know the king was really so, hey, today you can watch this pay-per-view and the next pay-per-view, which is great. A great way to do it, but I don't know. Do these countdown shows really get you excited for the show?
not really, no. But those countdown shows are there because the actual, I believe, the countdown show is posted on, say, YouTube, Facebook, and all these other different places, and that's the last thing that gets you enticed to buy the network and try it out. So that's what it's there for. Like you, I didn't watch the 205 Live matches. I actually missed it. I actually started watching the pre-show when Bobby Roode faced off against Mojo Rawley, and I saw the Ric Flair promo, which Ric Flair called it the WWF. He said the WWF back in the day. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
But
they spent a
yeah.
lot of time on that pre-show talking about the 92 Royal Rumble, and that's
It's one of the better ones. Seriously, it is.
And of course Charlotte was on the pre-show and they talked a little about her dad and so actually they're definitely hyping the show and we finally got into it. It started off with the AJ Styles defending the championship in a three-way, or actually, it was actually a tag match, a handicap tag match.
Right.
With Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I thought it was a really good way to start the show off. I don't know about you, Frank. I don't know what you expected from the show. I thought when there was two Royal Rumbles announced for the show, my thought initially would have been you do the women's match first, start the show with the women's match, because you're not going to want to put these two Rumble matches very close together because it's just going to burn out the crowd. I would have thought the women's match would have started at first. You get it out of the way. Then you get into the undercard matches with the championship matches, the tag team match, etc. And then the Royal Rumble match itself, as it traditionally is, the men's Royal Rumble match itself is typically the main event for the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. I was a little surprised they started with this match, but it was a great match. It was a great way to start the show off. But the formatting, and I know some people were, you know, questioning, boy, the women's match is going to go on last? Because I know after the second match, they're hyping up, coming up next, the men's Royal Rumble. And I'm like, that's in the middle? So my only thought could have been, well, they're going to probably either have Roman Reigns go over and the fans not like it, so you put that on in the middle, or Ronda Rousey is going to be in the women's Royal Rumble match itself, which, of course, we'll talk about. But what did you think of the formatting of the show, Frank, as far as the match sequences?
I thought it was a pretty good sequence. I did. The AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, that was a really good match. I used to be so critical of Sami Zayn and not being a fan, but ever since he turned heel, I've been really, you know, I've been a fan of Sami Zayn. You know, should he be WWE champion? I don't know. No. but saying that, I do say that I've been digging the feud between Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon. And I'm actually looking forward to watching SmackDown. You know, SmackDown, ever since they redid the brand split, it's not been a good show. I mean, we sat through the whole Jinder Mahal experiment and all that with the championship. And let's see if SmackDown can get going to on the road to WrestleMania. But I thought it was a really good match, and it's going to be kind of cool to see where they go with this, because if you watched the match last night, you do know that AJ Styles pinned the wrong guy. He pinned Kevin Owens when Sami Zayn was actually the legal man. There was no tag made there. So I can't wait to see where they go with that story. It's going to continue on here as we head to Fastlane.
Yeah, at first I thought maybe they're just going to brush it over with Shane, because they go in the back and they complain to Shane. He's like, hey, I got screwed again. You did see that, Shane. You did see it. And he's like, yeah, I saw it. And he walks away. So
no, he said, yeah, yep.
Yep. So you figure they got to play on that. And, of course, that storyline played a little bit into the Royal Rumble match itself when they took out, Ty Dillinger? And
right, who came out at number 10 again. And I was like, okay, so every year now it's going to be Ty Dillinger coming out at number 10. Okay, there you go. But we'll get to that when we get to the Rumble.
And then let's talk about a little bit here, Frank. Since we've done a podcast, they introduced Jason Jordan as Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah.
What is your opinion of this? Is this working?
I think it's the dumbest thing I've seen in a while. And my God, you're right. We have not done a podcast in a minute, because that happened last year.
Right.
So I saw it the first night they did it. I thought it was dumb then. I think it's dumb now. But I will say this. Jason Jordan is becoming one of my favorite characters on the show, because the heel shtick is working. He's becoming that child that's, hey, my father's Kurt Angle. You know what I'm saying? So I can pretty much get all these opportunities around here, and just he's really playing that role. You know what I mean? So I'm actually digging his character right now. And the fact that last night he really cost his team the championships against the Bar. You know, I'm like wondering about this. I can see definitely him and Seth Rollins at some point having a rivalry. But yeah, I don't like this. I don't like him necessarily being Kurt Angle's son, because I think it's stupid. But I do like the character progression here with Jason Jordan, because nobody was digging him, nobody was feeling him. So he's coming off now as this entitled, you know, entitled brat, this entitled asshole. So I'm digging it.
You see, to me, is if you can do a storyline where everybody knows, well, except for the Marks, everybody knows Jason Jordan is not really Kurt Angle's son.
Right.
Then why can't you do a gimmicky character anymore, like an Undertaker? Because, you know, it's like, well, it's the new style. We can't do managers anymore. We can't go. We just can't go in that direction anymore. You know, that's passe. It may come around again, but right now we're going in this direction. Everybody knows Jason Jordan is not Kurt Angle's son, and yet they sell it as he is his son. It's just, this is the best storyline they can come up with? I mean, honestly?
Well, you know, I tell you what, we all know Jason Jordan's real father, because if you watch the WWE Network show, I think it was called, what the hell was it called? It was a show on the network when it was kind of like Tough Enough. And I forgot the name of it. Excuse me at the moment. But they showed his actual parents on that show.
Right. Yeah, I remember
so, that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, you're not really believing it. That's just, okay, so here's the deal. Where's his black mother? How come the mother hasn't shown up on TV yet?
Well, who do you want to play the mother? Because I know there's been some names that they've thrown out. Is there anybody that would make sense for him to be the mother?
I mean, there used to be a meme out there with Kurt Angle and Charmel. So, you know, but time wise, that ain't gonna work.
What was the girl that he dated in TNA?
Was that the
one that was Shaniqua?
No.
That was Tanisha Biggers, or was that her name?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
You hope they don't go in this direction, but you never know.
No, I thought it would have been something else. I honestly thought it would have been, look, here's the bottom line. They're going with it. Eventually, it's probably going to lead to a match between father and son. And the way that I would have personally done it was, I would have just had Jason Jordan turn on Kurt and say, the only real father figure I've had was Triple H, and that would have been the end of it.
Chad Gable, of course, they broke up the tag team, and now Jason Jordan's on Raw, and Chad Gable's on SmackDown. They gave SmackDown Shelton Benjamin, who did come back. I know we were talking back in the day about, is Shelton Benjamin ever going to come back? He came back, and last night it was Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable, against the Usos for the tag team championships. I like this match, Frank. I just thought it went on a bit on the long side. It was 2 out of 3 falls, so you thought, hey, at least get the first fall out of the way, because it's probably going to be, you know, either side's going to win a fall, and then it's going to be the best of the third fall. And in a bit of a surprise, the Usos got straight falls here.
Yeah, in my opinion, the wrong team won. I really wanted to see Benjamin Gable win those tag belts. But I don't know if they're going for some type of record here with the Usos. I'm digging the Usos, though. They're one of my favorite tag teams on SmackDown. So, you know, I'm just surprised by the outcome. I didn't expect the Usos to get both falls. But good match nonetheless.
And then, of course, that took us to the Men's Royal Rumble, which they started running promos. And I'm like, the Men's Royal Rumble's now? So, that's what made me think maybe it's going to be Roman Reigns going over, and they don't want that reaction to end the show. Or another thought was Ronda Rousey, who put out during the week that she was going to, Columbia to do some kind of film project. She wouldn't be there. And then during the day, there was, a backstage photo of her getting makeup, so it was to imply that she's thousands of miles away in a different country.
Yep. Hey, when I saw that photo, I knew that was bullshit.
I mean, she worked TMZ. They bought it, right, too. So, you know, hey, it worked.
Anybody can work TMZ.
That's true. But they put the men's match third on the show, right in the middle. It was I thought this was a really entertaining Royal Rumble. There was a lot of surprises. Rey Mysterio coming back, hitting the 619, a double 619. The Hurricane was in this match, which was a real surprise. I didn't expect that name at all. And actually, in all honesty, I didn't expect Rey Mysterio either, because we had heard rumors online that he was negotiating with Impact Wrestling. Maybe that was a total swerve as well to say, hey, you know, put the word out, I'm talking Impact. And I know at the last set of tapings, they just did, six tapings, Impact, the last go-around, and he wasn't there, so I'm not sure what the next set of tapings is, but in these six shows in advance, and you'll see an old tape in about 6 weeks, but he wasn't a part of the tapings, so Rey Mysterio coming back, you had the Hurricane as a surprise in this match. I thought it had some intrigue. Again, it's like you're trying to figure out who's going to be number 30, who's left, who's going to be in this match. You had the Ty Dillinger spot, as you said, number 10. his music started. He never got out there because KO and Sami Zayn are attacking him in the back. Sami tells KO that, I got this, let me go out there and get him. You had the spot with Sheamus was out there about 1 second. He got flipped over. It was his birthday. Happiest 40th birthday, Sheamus, and he got about 1 second into this match. Overall, what was your thoughts on the Royal Rumble match itself? And then Nakamura actually went over, and now we've got Nakamura against AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
I really enjoyed the match. I thought Baron Corbin had a very good showing in that match last night. He destroyed everybody. So, and what I mean by that is he went out there and took out Rusev Day. And went out there and took out Heath Slater was another one that they took out Finn Balor. He had a really good showing out there, really strong showing.
Yes.
And can you believe how over Rusev is?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's Rusev Day.
Yeah, why is this guy still a heel?
I don't know.
They have, they actually do have Rusev Day calendars right now on sale on WWEshop.com. So.
Amazing.
I'm going to pick one. I'm going to get one of those because every day is Rusev Day, Steve.
Well, as long as they got Lana's picture on there somewhere, I don't know if I want to see his ugly face every day, but,
Well, you know. But nonetheless, yeah. I thought the match was pretty good, but, it's funny because Nakamura was the last person that I would expect to win the Rumble. And I'm thinking with the decision here to have them go at it, you got the AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura rematch from Wrestle Kingdom 10 going on here. Then you also have what happened later on here. I'm thinking to myself, okay, is WWE trying to outdo New Japan? Are they trying to outdo Wrestle Kingdom?
Well, that's interesting. As it was right now, lots going on with the Bullet Club. Cody just turned on Kenny Omega. You just had, just early this month, you had Omega versus Y2J, Chris Jericho. So,
yep.
Lots going on there.
I think they're trying to go up against Wrestle Kingdom. I think that's what they're trying to do. And like you just said, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Bullet Club. They just had the conversation between Kenny Omega and Cody, and then Adam, Hangman Page helps Cody in a beatdown on Kenny Omega, and then Kota Ibushi comes out and saves Omega. It all could be a swerve. It all could be a swerve for Omega to go up against Ibushi. We don't know yet, but it looks like there's some problems within the Bullet Club, and who knows? The Bullet Club might branch off into different groups. I mean, they already have subgroups. You already have. The Gorillas of Destiny, you already have the Elite, so we could see them splinter off. I hope that doesn't happen because that reminds me too much of the NWO, Red and Black and the Black and White and all that. We don't want to see that, but I'm looking forward to seeing where we go with this. And also, when Chris Jericho might come back into the fold.
Yes, because actually he did a video, I think yesterday or the day before, where he says, I'm not going to be at the Royal Rumble and I'm not going to be at WrestleMania.
That's what he says.
So... No, of course. But he could be a swerve. Could be a swerve.
But he might be coming here because New Japan Pro Wrestling is coming out here in the month of March. They're coming back to Long Beach, California, which I'm going to go this time. So he might be there. We shall see. And then, later on this year, the Bullet Club presents All In, Steve. So we'll see how that goes as well.
They also, in this match, they played up a little bit with the Woken Hardy versus Bray Wyatt.
Ugh.
I know you're not a fan of this gimmick right now.
No, man, I don't get it. I mean, at first when they were in TNA, I thought it was kind of cool. I thought Final Deletion was cool, but it's like, okay, now we're here, and I'm just not digging it. I don't like, if you're going to do the gimmick, you don't have to be, it has to be broken, man. You can't be woken. And there are certain elements that made that gimmick work in TNA that's not really going on right now in WWE. You got to have Senior Benjamin out there. You got to have Kane Maxwell. You got to have Rebby out there. It's a whole package. Right now, you're just getting Matt Hardy.
Yeah. And, of course, Sammy got in the match. He didn't win.
Right.
I thought maybe they'd get Kevin Owens in this match somehow as well. Take another spot. I thought that was clever. It's just... Take somebody else's spot. Just beat them up in the back and take their spot.
Yeah, we're not really doing nothing with Ty Dillinger anyway, so let's just go ahead and just squash him so he doesn't even get a Royal Rumble appearance. Oh, well, he got an appearance. We're just going to have him get laid out in the back. Yeah, I don't know, man. I personally thought that was kind of lame, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because you already have the story built in right there anyways. So there was no need to even go and, what, okay, you're going to enter the Rumble now to say, okay, if one of us wins, we're going to challenge Styles, but you have a legitimate gripe anyways. Because he pinned the wrong guy.
I tell you another thing, too, that I didn't like was, and I guess you have 30, you have 30 numbers, you have 30 spots, so all three New Day got in this match.
All right.
I mean, do we really think they have a legitimate chance? I mean,
Big E used to have a legitimate chance until he became a comedy character on the show. I mean, what the hell was up with the pancakes, man?
I don't know. And then the spot where Kofi wasn't totally out, and he's hopping on one foot on the outside, and I'm like,
I'm sorry, Kofi.
All these
but,
pancakes?
I'm sorry, Kofi, but Naomi outdid you this year, buddy.
And the pancake they gave, what, to Slater to get him going? He was knocked out.
Man, look, you know what? I'll be honest with you. If somebody came up to me, and I'm out there, and this big dude comes out there, and he pulls some pancakes out of his drawers and puts them in my mouth, I'm knocking him out. You feel me?
I feel you, man. I guess there's going to be guys in this match. Like Apollo Crews, he's got no chance. Titus O'Neil, he's got no chance.
No chance in hell.
Goldust is not going to win the Royal Rumble in 2018. But I guess you got to take up spots. And, you know, you got Randy Orton in the match, who's a strong contender, won last year. John Cena, some people thought maybe Cena might go over here.
I did not.
Well, if you didn't think Nakamura was going to, who did you kind of expect to go over in this one?
I honestly thought they were going to go with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I kind of did too. Especially when they put it on in the middle of the show, I thought, I bet Reigns is going to go over.
I thought they're going to do it. They're going to do it. But then when it came down to Nakamura, I said, okay, Nakamura's winning this.
And then Nakamura did win. They did the quick interview in the ring. I guess he can't speak a whole lot of English. He just could say AJ Styles, so it's on. AJ Styles versus Nakamura at WrestleMania. And already a match you're looking forward to.
But here's the thing. If we could go back to this, if this guy had been in the match, he was my pick to win it, and that would have been Samoa Joe.
And, of course, Samoa Joe's out with injury right now, so.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, man.
He was on the pre-show, wasn't he? Or was he at NXT?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I didn't watch all the pre-show.
I think he was on NXT then. Because he was there that weekend. He was there.
Well, I tell you, the thing about Samoa Joe is that, you know, unfortunately, this guy has been wrestling for so many years, and these injuries are you know, nagging.
Yep.
And every time he gets that big spot where they're going to do something with him, he gets injured. So I hope he's not getting the kind of reputation behind the scenes of, like, this guy might be injury prone. You know, because that squash should push in a minute. They can't depend on you.
So,
you know who's really, I'm really digging right now, though, real quick?
Who's that?
I'm really digging Elias.
Oh yeah. You know, I enjoyed that spot last night too, where he's talking about he's going to bring some class by winning the Royal Rumble, and he's going to smack the Rocky statue.
He's going to spit on the Rocky statue. I'm like, that is some serious heat right there.
That was funny. That was really good. That's a great spot.
Yeah. So they got a couple guys in there that I'm digging. It's not all bad in WWE.
Not all bad, but not all good either.
Oh, and don't forget, Adam Cole was also in the Royal Rumble last night.
And the NXT champion.
Right.
So, yeah, they got a few spots in there. So,
sure did.
Although Adam Cole had the ribs, so he didn't look like he could be comfortable in that ring. I don't know. It's like, you don't expect he's going to go very far in this match.
No, and it's crazy how small he is compared to a lot of the other guys in that match.
Same thing with Rey Mysterio. When he's standing by anybody, he looks so short.
Yeah, that's Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio last night, I'm telling you.
Wow.
The Rey Mysterio I saw last night was the Rey Mysterio in WCW before the gas.
Yeah.
That's what I saw last night. I was like, whoa, this guy. I mean, Mysterio was just out there. He's doing a lot of stuff, and he's just like a whole different guy than the last time I saw him in WWE. Because last time I saw him in WWE, he was just, you know, you could tell there was something going on. But this new Rey Mysterio that's following the wellness test, he's good.
And then there was also that one spot where Seth Rollins was in the match, and basically him and Reigns were working together, and then Reigns turned against Rollins.
Hey, it's every man for himself. I wish when he did that, he would have did what Sid Justice did to Hogan when Hogan got thrown out in 92, and Sid Justice says, it's every man for himself, big boy. So that's what I wish would happen.
And of course, Jesus Rollins. Yeah, there he was. He got tossed up. Of course, he had to come back and wrestle. Same thing Cesaro got in the match. Sheamus was out there for a quick moment, and
he was a warlord.
I don't think did they say how long he was out there for? He didn't break Santino's mark, did he? He
wasn't. I'm not sure, but like I said, it was a great spot. It was an ode to the warlord.
And then, of course, Frank, you have that spot where. If you put the Rumble on in the middle, something's got to follow it.
Uh-huh.
And then they went with another tag match.
Right.
Which I'm not sure that was the way to go. But I guess you got to see.
You got to have something to bring the crowd now.
Yeah, I guess. So you got Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins against the bar. And, of course, you're talking about Jason Jordan. He's injured. He can't get back in the ring. And Seth Rollins got pinned.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, listen. Jason Jordan versus Seth Rollins was a makeshift tag team anyways, because Dean Ambrose went out with an injury. You know, they had the Shield reunion going on there, and the Shield reunion to me was a flop. I mean, it was cursed from day one. So, like I said, I'm sure Jason Jordan is going to blame Seth Rollins on Raw for the championship loss. So I want to see that segment, but it was a good match. It was just something to bring the crowd down before they got to the triple threat match.
Yep, Cesaro and Sheamus are a really good tag team as well. I enjoy watching them guys.
And they were a makeshift tag team when they started.
Yeah. Yep, Cesaro always puts on a great performance. And then, Frank, I have to say, this is the match where I probably took the longest bathroom break because this was the triple threat match. This was for the Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar defending against Braun Strowman and Kane. And how did Kane get in this match, Frank? The guy's like there like once or twice a year, it seems like, and he's in this championship match.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I didn't really have an issue with Kane being in the match, to be honest with you. I mean, who else are we gonna use Strowman versus Lesnar again? And I mean, look. Any momentum they had with Braun Strowman, they killed it off again last night.
Why couldn't they just have a singles match, though? You already had AJ versus a tag in a handicap tag match.
Well, you need Kane there to take the fall.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Because you don't want Braun Strowman, even though I'm saying that they're killing all his momentum, but you don't want Braun Strowman there to take the fall. You got to have Kane there to take the fall.
I really thought Strowman would be in the Royal Rumble. I know he was already booked for the championship match, but that doesn't stop people anymore. He could have jumped in there at some point.
It didn't stop Roman Reigns.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, you're doing 27, 28, 29. Okay. Strowman's got to be in here, right? Right? No. 30 was Ziggler, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. what the hell was up with that? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, Ziggler has been off TV this whole time, whatever storyline they were going to go with for him, you know, vacating the U.S. Championship after he won it. And then all of a sudden, the guy just comes out last night as number 30, and there's nothing there. You bring him out, and you throw him out, and I'm like, well, that was a waste of a spot.
Sure was.
Like, damn, man. It's like, what are they doing? But apparently, from the news going on, is that that spot was originally, now listen to this, people. That spot was originally supposed to go to Mojo Rawley, but they flipped him.
Right. Yeah, because Ziggler was supposed to challenge Rude.
Bobby Rude, right.
For the U.S. Championship on the pre-show.
Yeah, they're saving that until SmackDown Tuesday night.
Until they change their mind again.
Exactly. Now, but here's the thing, though. I would have came back with a different Dolph Ziggler, man. Like, you know, a different attitude, different look. He just came back as the same damn character.
Yeah, and then we did that. What was that one spot with the KFC Colonels out there too?
Dude, that was lame.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, that was stupid.
And what? Ric Flair won. He Colonel Sanders, Ric Flair.
Yeah, he won. Yeah.
Colonel Flair. I don't know.
Yeah.
KFC is.
They got to have something for Ric Flair to do.
We're not going to get the sponsor, Frank, so I'm going to say KFC is total garbage. Total garbage.
It really is.
Oh, no, my gosh. Other than the coleslaw. The coleslaw is good, but the rest of their food is... maybe it's me just getting older, but some of these fast food joints anymore, man. Just get some real food, man.
I'm a Popeyes person myself. I gotta choose one.
There you go. So we had this match, and of course Lesnar won. Lesnar would be available for WrestleMania. And I don't know, Frank. There was the article at the end.
Did you see that? Hold on 1 second, there, partner. Did you see that stiff knee?
Oh.
That Braun Strowman gave to Brock, and Brock like gave him a receipt for that. He said something to him. Like, shit.
There was that article that I think it was Forbes that broke how much these guys are making, and Brock Lesnar is making a gaudy amount of money, Frank. Something like $14 million, and he only works. Basically the pay-per-views and a few house shows, maybe, or one TV. I mean, this guy's making a ton of money. Are they getting any bang for their buck with him?
That's what I'm kind of wondering. Right? Does anybody out there really consider Brock Lesnar to be a draw anymore? I don't get excited when Brock Lesnar comes on TV, and definitely doesn't make me want to buy the network. I mean, I skip a lot of this shit.
Well, I guess the question would be is, who should be the Universal Champion right now?
Somebody who's going to be there every week.
True.
That's who should be the Universal Champion. I mean, we used to have a thing back in the day called the 30-day rule. You know, in kayfabe, if the champion didn't wrestle in 30 days, they would be stripped of their championship.
I remember that. Yeah, the old Jack Tunney days and Gorilla Monsoon, and yeah.
All right, but now that doesn't apply to, you know, Brock Lesnar.
I don't think it applies to Alexa Bliss either.
Right, she hasn't defended her title, I read, since October of last year.
Yeah, October 30th, the last I read.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's 100% right, but that's what I read. So.
So I read too, so I don't know if it's right either, but...
I don't recall anything between then, so it's possible it's that long.
Yeah.
So that's what, 2 months? She hasn't... That's 60 days.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a new 60-day rule now.
I don't know. It's like the wellness policy. You get two strikes, we'll take one off after a certain amount of time.
Unless you're Randy Orton and he gets, well, you know, that's a whole other can of worms. But
right. If you get, you don't want to catch an RKO out of nowhere, Steve.
Depends what your name is.
Right.
Unlike what The Rock would say, it depends on what your name is, because you can get some special treatment if you have the right name. So.
Okay, well, if my name is, let's say, Titus O'Neil, what am I going to get?
Well, actually, Titus is, after all those problems last year, Frank, he seems to be doing okay right now. You know, not
he sure of... he sure is.
Yeah.
He sure is.
He got invited to, what, that Martin Luther King Jr. parade, and he's an upstanding citizen, and everything that happened with that McMahon thing seems to be behind him now. Hold on there, pal.
See, he was doing all that stuff before he got in trouble with the company.
Well, that's true. Yep.
So what's he doing right now in the company?
Well, he was in the Royal Rumble for a little while.
Right, but what's he doing outside of that? Him and Apollo Crews have gotten two tag team wins over the Bar, so I'm thinking, hey, maybe they might be the new number one contenders. But, you know, Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan are going to, you know, get their rematch clause in there. I'm just saying, what do you get if you're Titus O'Neil? That's what I'm saying.
I'm getting a paycheck, I guess, about all I can tell you. At least you've gotten back from your suspension and getting paid, I guess. But
hey, man, speaking of you know, coming back, where the hell is TJP?
I don't know.
No TJP?
Yeah, yeah.
Where is he at, man?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you knew.
No. Not sure.
Well, damn, pal, you're Gerwig.net, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, where's TJP?
He's on the roster.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know where he is today, but he's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess creative has nothing for him.
Presently, no.
Right.
But then again, at least he's not Enzo.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, you know, and I'm going to say something right about that right quick. Real talk. She's lying her ass off.
You think so?
Yeah, hell yeah, she's on her ass off. Enzo's stupid for being for he Enzo's a dumbass for having himself be put in that position to begin with, trying to live that rock star lifestyle with these hood rats. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, she's lying her ass off.
Wait a minute. TJP was on the undercard.
He was there wrestling?
TJP was in that opening match.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like I said, I only watched the show like from a distance, walking in and out of the house, doing activities around. But he was in that six-man tag on the front of the show.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I didn't watch that match, so I didn't even know the guy was there.
See, I wanted to say he was, but I wasn't 100% sure. Then I thought, yeah, he was in that match. That's right.
Did you just look at the results on Gary?
No, I'm thinking, okay, who were the three guys again? And like, he was in that match. I'm almost 100. See, I wasn't watching it really closely. I just was, you know.
Okay, did he dab when he came out?
That I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch it that closely.
That's the way you'll know, is if he dabbed.
Okay, the mask guy's one, but I don't know a lot of spots in it.
Oh, okay. Is he back to wearing a mask?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought he became manic again.
No.
Okay.
Oh, so that solves that mystery. So there you go. Gerwick.net, we'll keep you informed.
Well, you keep yourself informed, pal.
Well, there's something about two-hour pregame shows that's really hard to stomach.
Yeah. Especially when I put you on the spot there. I put you on the spot here on the podcast, and you had to go look the shit up.
I didn't look it up. I just was like, who was the other guy? Because I knew it was Gallagher was one of the guys. I'm like, oh, I think it was TJP.
I got you. Well, good. If he's back, good.
Yeah, he's back. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Now, when is Rich Swann coming back?
Well, I think he's still suspended.
Well, that suspension should be lifted because they didn't have any evidence to prosecute him to begin with.
You know, there's a lot of weirdness with Swan's case and Enzo's case.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up there. I don't know what it is, but...
Well, you know, people... Here's the thing, man. People lie about shit all the time like this. I see it every day.
I mean, I could have seen him keep him suspended until it resolved itself, like the Swan situation just resolved itself.
Okay, but here's the difference between the two situations. The thing is this. Enzo had been he had been knowing of an investigation against him since October of last year, October 17th, matter of fact. He knew about this. He did not tell WWE about this investigation.
Okay.
It's a morality clause in the contract that says he has to notify them.
Okay, but does anybody tell their employer that they're being investigated for a crime?
You know what I mean?
You're hoping your employer maybe just doesn't hear about this.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But WWE has to watch their back.
Oh, I get it too. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But I'm just saying, they say they fired him because they didn't inform the company. But
no, they fired him because they were just looking for a reason to fire his ass because he has so much heat.
I think so too.
That's what it was. Yeah. No, they didn't. They were looking for a reason. I'm telling you, we finally got this son of a bitch. Let him go.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not an Enzo fan. I think he sucks. He's not very entertaining to me. Does nothing for me. Right. But I think he got shafted here.
I think he got a raw deal.
Yeah, I think he definitely got shafted. I think they should have put him on suspension until the case resolved itself. If you want to fire him for his merits, his lack of creativity, his character, whatever. That's a separate issue, but not for this issue.
Hey, the guy was ratings, man. I don't like the gimmick either. I don't like the shtick at all. But the guy was ratings. See, they built 205 Live around him. And there's also, you know, you remember back in the day in WCW, they used to talk about the Armstrong curse.
Yup.
Okay, so it's now the Cruiserweight curse, the curse of the purple belt.
Scott Armstrong's who still works for the company, that's Road Dogg's brother there, he just had a grandbaby, and I saw it on Twitter, and I congratulated him, and I put, no curse. So, yeah. You know, that Armstrong curse.
Wow. Right.
One of those legends of wrestling, one of those old sayings. Right. But, Enzo, like I said, I'm not a fan of his at all. I didn't even think it was, when it was over, I didn't think it was very entertaining. And I knew that was going to get stale very fast, but I think he got shafted. And I would agree. I think, well, Frank, I mean, what, Swan could probably come back this week, I would imagine.
Hey, Stephanie and Triple H says that they're waiting to see what happens legally. And if he's, convicted or anything or whatever, he would be fired at that point, terminated. But since he's been cleared of all charges,
he's back with his wife again.
That's right. So,
I don't see any reason
Just don't get in any type of trouble like this ever again.
I mean, it's a strike against you on your record, but you should be brought back. So.
Well, it won't be for long. I mean, you were charged with something, but you weren't convicted of it. So you just got to go through the Department of Justice and get it expunged.
All right, Frank, here we go. This the historic first ever women's Royal Rumble match. And we had Maria Menounos come out. She was the ring announcer. And why they did this, I have no idea. But Stephanie McMahon came out as the color commentator. And I don't know about you, Frank, but sitting there listening, I thought, are they going to bring her in this match? Is she going to be one of the numbers? Especially when you watched all these retired workers. Molly Holly comes out. Jacqueline comes out. Tori Wilson comes out. Vicky Guerrero come out. All these filler people. I thought, boy, is Stephanie going to throw her weight in the ring? And, a McMahon has won a Royal Rumble. McMahon has won a World Championship. Is she going to get in that ring and become the first Royal Rumble winner? But she didn't subject that to us. But man, was she awful last night on commentary.
Did you notice on the commentary last night? I don't know if what was going on there, but she kept checking Corey Graves.
I don't think she knew who half the girls were.
Yeah, she did, but certain things like Corey Graves was going crazy for Mandy Rose, right?
Right.
And she says, "Hey, calm down there," you know.
Yeah.
What
is she gonna say? That she has nothing to provide to the commentary.
She ain't. She's not her father.
No.
That's one thing that Stephanie McMahon needs to understand.
Yeah, that's right. They should have done a maneuver, like her daddy would say, or something.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's like you're not Vince, and it's she goes out there and welcome to Monday Night Raw, and you're not your father.
And the thing is, you can't yell at her in the headset because she's Vince's daughter. So what are you gonna do?
If she had screwed up on commentary, Vince wouldn't yell at her? You know damn well he would. He told her to wipe her nose last Monday. Did you see that part in the
I
second?
Did. I did, yes.
Yeah. Yep. So you think he wouldn't tell her? You're damn right he would tell her.
Well, you think Vince is back to her listening to this commentary and say, boy, my daughter's doing a great job on commentary.
I think Vince has a bunch of yes men around him now and say, oh my God, boss, that's the greatest commentary I've ever heard in my life.
She should be on every week.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, we don't go that far.
And a podcast out there actually said, is there any way that we don't have to listen to Seth McMahon on commentary? And the WWE Network actually tweeted them back and says, you can actually change the language settings. And that way you don't have to listen to Seth on commentary. Stephanie was just out there to be out there.
Frank, there was one time I ordered I think it might have been a WWF pay-per-view back in the day, and I pushed the wrong button, and I got the Spanish commentary. And I started watching for about 5 minutes, and I said, I can't do this, man. You gotta have commentary, man. Even if it's the commentary you don't like. So I'd call back. I think it was with DirecTV, and they switched me back to the English commentary, but I get you, man. You don't have to listen to Stephanie, but you kind
of
do.
She didn't really say nothing. The last half of it, she didn't really say anything.
Well, that's smart. Just shut up and let the commentators do the match and get over what they got to get over. So, but, we were talking before we did the show here, and you liked a lot of the surprises. Molly Holly, Jacqueline, Michelle McCool, Beth Phoenix, Lita came back. Where was Victoria? I mean, it seemed really strange that Victoria wouldn't have been in this match. But Gail Kim put out during the week that she wasn't going to be there. Didn't really expect her to. I know she's been very negative with WWE over the years, but
she's been positive Triple H, though. She's praised Triple H a lot because she actually did say that Triple H was one of the guys, even when she was there, that was really advocating for the women.
But I think she's still working kind of behind the scenes with TNA, so or
could be.
Impact
Well,
Wrestling.
See, that doesn't exist anymore. They're Impact.
I know. Yeah.
Come on now. You just like you said, WWF. You can't say that. It's WWF.
No. I said WWF because I think when I ordered that pay per view, it was still WWF. Is that long ago?
Well, you can't say that, man. You can't say WWF.
Yes, I can. It was a WWF pay per view.
That doesn't exist.
Well, it did at the time.
You can't say that, man.
You can't change history.
Yes, we can. We can blur it out.
You can't blur it. It still was there.
You can blur the logo, man. You can't say that.
And excuse me, because you know I was had a conversation the other day with somebody, and I kept saying TNA, and they're like, "It's not TNA." I was like, "Sue me. It's going to be TNA.
Exactly.
It's TNA. I don't know. What the hell
listen,
is Impact
man.
Wrestling? Impact.
Just
I work for Impact Wrestling. TNA.
Just refrain from using TNA and
TNA.
Saying WWF. You know, when I say WWF, I say WWF. That's what I do.
Or the whip.
just like they used to bleep it on the damn network.
No, I always like you call it the whip, because that's what they whip you around over there.
They sure do. They whip you. But see, I actually watch other wrestling now. See, you got to get out that bubble, man. You know, I watch New Japan and shit now. You need to get out that WWE bubble.
Yeah, you might as well, because it's still WWE. I mean, we haven't done a podcast in a while, but it's the product overall is still pretty lackluster overall. So, I mean.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I mean, what are you going to do, man? You know something? Here's the deal. Like I tell people all the time, you get the network for a 30-day free trial, or you pay $9.99 a month. What really are we going to complain about?
Especially when you used to be charged.
What, exactly.
$40, $50 for these shows.
Sometimes you just gotta sit back and just chill and just watch it or don't watch it.
And man,
that's it.
I remember getting ripped off on a lot of those shows for $40 or $50.
Oh, you, God. Yeah, you did, not me.
Ooh, man, I tell you, back in the day when I was doing every commentary on all the pay per views, I was ordering them myself and covering them all. And boy, man, when I got my cable bill. Ooh.
Yeah, and on top of that, you used to cover a lot of the Impact Wrestling pay per views back in the day.
Well, I did, yeah. Yeah. I tell you I won't tell you how bad those bills were back in the day.
Well, I can imagine.
Oh my gosh.
Imagining myself when I was 12, 13 years old, first got cable for the first time. I ordered a bunch of shit on there. I was ordering the Spice Channel and all this other stuff, and the WWF and the WCW shows, and ran my cable to $350. And my mom, you know, tried to whoop my ass, but I ran.
But you told them you wanted TNA, and they gave you Spice anyway, because it sounded like the same thing.
Yeah, but see, back in the day, also too, you know, when she put a code on the cable bill so I couldn't order anything, I would still get the Spice on there because you could flip the channel back and forth or whatever, and it would break through. One day I'm breaking through the channel and I see titties. And I'm like, oh, shit, there we go.
Oh, those scrambled channels that sometimes would
That's
come in
right.
for a while.
Yes.
They're like, whoa, look at that.
Right. Exactly. So I bring all my friends. I'm like, look at them tits right there in public.
If you will.
If you will.
But, you know, Frank, to me, it was with the women's match. It was a good match. It was booked real well. I just thought with all the women coming back, you know, the Tori Wilsons, the Vicky Guerreros, and Beth Phoenix, et cetera, it just seemed like it really showed the lack of depth they have on the women's side. And, you know, could they have not done a 20-woman's battle royal? Just because, I mean, they don't have as many women as they do men. I mean, would it have been that different to say, we're doing 20 women Royal Rumble?
They got a lot of women down in NXT right now. And matter of fact, they brought, you know, the NXT Women's Champion, Ember Moon, into the match last night as well. And she had a very good showing. I love the face-off between her and Asuka, because that was a hot rivalry in NXT. But I got to tell you, Steve, the Riot Squad, they have some of the worst music I've ever heard. Now, we all know Jim Johnston is no longer with the company. So, CFOs, get your shit together, man. Get the Riot Squad and Absolution members need their own music. So y'all need to fix that.
Here's an idea. Why don't TNA hire Jim Johnson?
Who?
TNA.
What is that?
Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
That doesn't exist anymore, pal. I have no idea what you're referring to. Now, if you're referring to that Canadian company, Impact Wrestling,
yes.
Well, maybe they can bring it in.
Or do they still
have Dale Oliver doing their music?
Yeah, that's very possible.
Okay.
Well, but you couldn't, hey, you know, we've got a new direction here. We got, Cyrus is back, Don Callis. We've got, Scott D'Amore is back. He's, you know, they're running the company along with Big Ed here. So break out a little coinage here, and let's get some theme music here. Because,
well, I mean, they could. I mean, if you were going to hire somebody that really knows how to do music and knows how to create music specifically for characters, Jim Johnston would be the guy.
Yeah,
all CFOs, yeah. CFOs, they let me put it like this. CFOs have some good music. They have some good themes. But their music, I mean, is there anybody out there listening to the podcast right now knows about their music? Their music loops around. All their songs loop. And that's one thing I don't like about their music. Jim Johnston he knew how to create a song for a specific character. One of my favorite things he ever did was Jake St. Roberts, Trust Me. That's a heel theme song right there.
Psycho Sid,
you know, No Chance in Hell, Degeneration X, Corporate Ministry. You know, they had Mojo Rawley come out there by the side of his son. I don't know what the hell he was coming out to, some damn gym aerobics music.
Did he do Mr. Perfect's theme back then?
I believe he may have done that one. Yeah,
that was a good one too. That really fit the character.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, as far as this Royal Rumble match itself, as I said, it was well booked. A lot of people expected Asuka to win. She went over, and it looked like she was ready to decide who she wanted. At ringside, they had Alexa Bliss and they had Charlotte Flair. She got in the ring, and obviously she's hedging towards Alexa Bliss, which makes a lot of sense. Alexa Bliss versus Asuka at WrestleMania. But then here come Ronda Rousey out of nowhere. Frank, I thought she was in Columbia.
Yeah, she came out wearing, she was wearing Rowdy Piper, his actual jacket.
Right.
The son Colt actually flew, I guess he flew to Philly to give her the jacket so she'd have it out there to wear. And Rhonda came out to a hell of an ovation, that's a hell of a pop for her. But a lot of people saying, well, she shit on Asuka's moment and nobody cared about Asuka winning the Rumble anymore. That's not the case at all. I think that her coming out there enhanced the moment because it got people talking about the Royal Rumble that normally wouldn't be talking had Asuka won it. And that's what it is. They actually got mainstream publicity for the Royal Rumble by saying that's what they were going for.
And it looked like when she was going to come out, Asuka was going to pick Bliss, and then you kind of had this tease of Charlotte, who's actually, you know, a taller girl versus Ronda Rousey. But we're hearing today that the likelihood for WrestleMania would be Triple H and Stephanie versus Ronda Rousey and a partner of her choosing, which may be the direction they go, which I guess would protect her a little bit from putting her in a big match right away at WrestleMania because, I mean, this will be her first professional wrestling match. So
they're probably going to try to get The Rock.
Well, that would make there you go. That would make a lot of sense since they did the angle a couple years ago, right? With
exactly, yeah.
With Ronda being at ringside at WrestleMania, so
right. So they're probably going to try to get her, or it might be Kurt Angle.
Interesting, of course. Yeah, I could go for that. That'd be a good match. Yeah.
Although I haven't really, I'm going to just keep it 1,000, man. Kurt can barely move.
Well, Stephanie can't do much in the ring either.
She can't, but I mean, Kurt can barely move around. Every time Angle's out there, man, he does any kind of like bumping around. I get scared for the guy.
Well, the question would be, would The Rock one come back and take some bumps?
I mean, you know, they're gonna be in New Orleans, and The Rock was a part of that Angle.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
On the night that, you know, Triple H took his shovel out and buried Sting, so.
And I guess for the first historic match, the first Women's Royal Rumble, I would say, if nothing else, I saw Fit Finlay, who's worked with a lot of these women, said glowing things about the match itself. A lot of people over on social media.
Trish Stratus, man. We got to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
Trish Stratus.
Yeah, Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus looked damn good last night, man.
She did.
And so did Molly Holly.
Yeah.
They can still go today. You know what I'm saying? And then, Tori Wilson, not so much.
Well, you know, they could go today. I mean, the shelf life of a woman is a lot shorter than a man. So,
yeah.
I think Molly Holly's moved on from professional wrestling, and Trish as well. But you're right. I mean, I thought Beth Phoenix looked pretty good out there, too.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah. You know, and I got to wonder, like, why did these women walk away to begin with? Because they can, I mean, I'm not really a Sasha Botch fan, but I love the confrontation between her and Trish Stratus. And
Michelle
she was telling
McCool.
Trish how she was the boss. Yeah, Michelle McCool was she was okay. I wasn't really a big fan of hers, to be honest with you.
And Tori Wilson was out there, Kelly Kelly. Oh, we got to met the spot with Vicky Guerrero.
I didn't like it.
What the
I thought it
hell was
sucked.
that? What the
Yeah,
hell?
that was sucked. She said going, excuse me, and it's like, okay, the
Oh.
last time she was there, people were into that, but it's like nobody either remembered or they really just didn't give a shit.
I mean, she looks so bad, and she's screaming, and oh my
Really care
gosh.
about it. I didn't really care about her looks all that much. I never really have. I just thought like, okay, you come up with this excuse me, and I'm like, come on, man, really? Then they brought Jacqueline out there, and she was only in there for a minute. She was in there for less than putting some sugar in her cup of coffee. So,
Got a paycheck, can't complain.
got a paycheck.
That's
Exactly,
right.
she got a paycheck for it. I just didn't like the fact that they had the Bellas in there at the end with Sasha Banks and Asuka.
And of course, they had Nikki turn against Brie Bella. So,
And I gotta say this too, man, while we're talking about the women's match real quick too. Okay, so you build up Nia Jax as she's this monster, right? Okay, why do you destroy her in the match?
no, Frank, she's not a monster. She is the female version of Andre the Giant.
Why the hell was that?
There was a comment that was how they perceive her. She is their female Andre the Giant.
I don't get
I
that.
don't get that either. They don't book her that way.
No, they don't. And I don't get that because the female Andre the Giant was Chyna, the ninth wonder of the world.
And she got mentioned.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon mentioned her
Oh
in
my
commentary. I was
gosh.
like, I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, yeah, you bitch. That's exactly what my feeling was.
Yeah, they
You
met.
actually had the audacity to mention China, and you're one of the reasons that you're one of the people that was responsible for destroying her life. Get out of here with that shit.
Yeah, they did a spot where they were mentioning people who couldn't be there. Some had passed away, like Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah. Medusa couldn't be there because she's recovering from surgery. And then they threw, kind of out of nowhere, it just was. And the ninth wonder of the world, China. I was like,
Well, no, Stephanie brought her up. She said you can't forget the ninth.
yeah,
Yeah,
I
Stephanie
know.
said you can't
She
forget the
brought her
ninth wonder of the
up.
world, China. Right.
I thought, wow, where did that come from?
I don't know.
If you're in this women revolution and you're talking about the women that's preceded these women that made a difference, that what China won the IC championship, Royal Rumble, Beth Phoenix was in the Royal Rumble, she was out there. Yeah, give these girls some due, but
Okay,
just the way it came off with Stephanie, say, just kind of left a bad taste in your mouth.
well, it was because you know the story.
Yeah, right.
But of people that they didn't mention, how come Luna Vachon didn't get no love?
That's true, right?
I don't know. Did they mention
No.
Sensational Sherry Martel?
I think they did.
They did?
I
Okay,
think
because I
they
know they mentioned Miss Elizabeth.
I think they did. I could be wrong and somebody will correct me if I thought I might have heard that name when they were mentioning
Okay,
those.
they probably did, but
Yeah.
the one that caught me really was it was
Well, Sherry's in their
her
Hall of Fame,
purpose.
right?
Yes, she
Yeah,
is.
she is. So, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, but China is not in their Hall of Fame,
No, and she never will be.
and neither is Luna. Oh no, they'll induct her.
You think they will now she's
Yeah,
dead?
they
Okay.
will because Triple H mentioned her on the 25th anniversary show as well.
Well,
He also mentioned Ravishing Rick.
it's sad that's the only way you're going to get in, but that was probably the only way she was going to get in.
Well, now they're going to change. They're going to change the history of China now. They're going to change all that stuff. Because Stephanie posted something about, if that whole thing never would happen with Triple H drugging her and all that shit on Raw, we never would have gotten married. So basically, what she's saying is that if you guys never would have started an angle and then you started, messing around while he was still with China, then you guys never would have got together. But she didn't say it that way. She said it in a more cleaner way.
Wow.
But nonetheless, I'm going to tell you one thing that got me the whole night, Steve, on the Royal Rumble, both the Royal Rumble winners here. Where was the freaking pyro on the sign? Everybody's pointing to this damn sign, and there's nothing happening with the sign. We're just pointing at, Nakamura pointed at it. And then Asuka pointing at it. And then Ronda Rousey is pointing at it. Now, wouldn't it have made more sense and really been a big, big picture if Ronda Rousey's pointing at the WrestleMania sign and pyro's going off? Wouldn't that have been a picture on ESPN?
I think Vince just blew the wad for XFL.
Well, Vince needs to quit blowing the wad and invest some money back into the product and get some pyrotechnics out there. Jeez, man. AJ Styles' entrance is lame as hell without the pyro. And then you got Kane come out there with sound effects in his music now. There's, you hear this big-ass explosion, but it's in the music. Like, come on, man. Really, y'all are the... I mean, damn, even Ring of Honor has pyro.
So, I guess in conclusion here, Frank, thumbs up on the first Women's Royal Rumble and expect that to go on in the future Royal Rumbles?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, it is. And I'm gonna get a show a thumbs up. I like it.
Yeah, I will too. Other than the Brock Lesnar triple threat match, which was really boring to me. I didn't get into that at all. But the only thing is, two Royal Rumbles does seem like a bit of overkill. That's why I thought if you could maybe put the women down to 20 women. Maybe, I know it's, they just don't have that many girls. I mean, it was obvious with all the names coming back to fill up the roster. Their roster itself is not that deep. So
no, it's now you're missing it.
I know they have NXT girls, but they're not going to get a pop.
That's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because that's what you expect in the Rumble. You expect there to be surprise entrance in the Rumble. That's what you're expecting. So that's why they do it.
But next
it's
year,
not because they don't have the depth. They have the depth. I mean, look at the people that they just signed. And we haven't mentioned the signings yet, Steve. We're talking about these people. We haven't mentioned signings. We haven't talked about how they just had on NXT TakeOver the other night. They had, Ricochet was on there.
EC3.
They had War Machine EC3 was on there as well. So the Triple H is just grabbing all the talent he can. All the talent that, 5 or 10 years ago would never have been in WWE. They're bringing all these people in now. And I'm thinking to myself that with Nakamura winning, and Nakamura is, like I said before, is facing AJ Styles at Mania. That's the plan. And then you have Asuka probably going to wrestle whoever at Mania, maybe Ronda Rousey or whatever. They're trying to outdo Wrestle Kingdom is what they're trying to do. This is basically, in my opinion, this is a assault on New Japan. That's what I think is going on here.
Wait, competition?
All right.
Competition in wrestling? I remember those days.
Yeah.
Where you saw something the other company was doing and said, hey, maybe we could do a little bit of that.
Well, we're pushing the Japanese stars now, who we've been not doing a damn thing with Nakamura, but now we're pushing him to the moon as the Royal Rumble winner. And then on top of that, we have the Balor Club, which I think right now, okay, it's too late for the Balor Club. The Balor Club should have been done a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Not now. You buried Anderson and Gallows for so long, and all of a sudden now you put them with Finn Balor, and now we're going to be the Balor Club, which in my opinion, the Balor Club should be heels, number one. But nonetheless, you're going to push the Balor Club now, and it should have been done a while ago. You should have pushed the Balor Club the moment you brought back the Shield. That's what I would have done.
And as you pointed out before we did the show, too, by sequencing the show the way you did and had the women's match on last, Ronda Rousey came out at the very end, as a surprise. Some weren't surprised, some were surprised, but as a surprise, you had that ESPN Sports Center moment, and it was all over ESPN that, ESPN had it, that she had signed a full-time contract right away after the show, and they interviewed her and everything, so it got the kind of reaction they wanted. She was over with the crowd. It'd be interesting now, Frank, moving forward, they have her full-time, so that implies this isn't a Brock Lesnar deal where she's going to work 10 dates or 12 dates. Full time usually means you're on every week. So
right. Now, what's she going to be, Raw or SmackDown?
I guess that's not clear at this point. I guess she'd be in the storyline a free agent then, right? Because
yeah, I think she would be. But they also, and then don't forget here too, Steve, they're going to have a new general manager for 205 Live come up as well. So
any idea who you think it might be, or who would you want it to be, or?
I really don't. I don't know. I mean, who's somebody under they're not doing anything with?
I don't know. Isn't the authority figure already played out?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've been doing the authority figure for years. I mean, but they're still stuck. Look, man, you know, they had authority figures in wrestling all, you know, I mean, going back to Jack Tunney, you know, Tunney, and then you had, you know, Nick Bockwinkel was in WCW. You remember he was a commissioner for a while, and then Bischoff, you know, Bischoff did it.
Well, long as they don't become front and center. Jack Tunney was the president, but he wasn't on every week. He wasn't out there making matches every week. You know, if something controversial happened, they'd throw it to Tunney's office, and he'd make a ruling, but the authority figure, like a Mr. McMahon over the time, you know, out there every single week. Because they asked, you know, Don Callis and Scott D'Amore on one of the conference calls, are you guys going to be authority figures? And they're like, that's played out.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, you could do it, but boy, it just gets so watered down and every week. And let's try something different. Yeah.
Because WWE keeps doing it. I mean, they did it because, you know, McMahon became a character after the whole Montreal thing, because, I mean, they were doing it in WCW already with Bischoff. But the thing with it is that WWE just keeps doing it and keeps doing it. Now you have Daniel Bryan and Shane, and we got Stephanie with Kurt. And it's like, if Kurt's supposed to be in charge, why is Stephanie there? If Daniel Bryan's supposed to be in charge, why is Shane there?
True.
They already have the guys, you know, working already, so I don't know who could come in as the I do know who could be the commissioner for 205 Live, Hurricane Helms.
I like it. He's awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be a really good idea.
All right.
And what do you, you know, moving forward here, Daniel Bryan wants to wrestle. Looks like WWE's not going to let him wrestle. What do you expect? His contract expires and he goes to New Japan or Ring of Honor?
Well, I'll tell you what. If they're not letting him wrestle, there's probably a reason why he's not wrestling. Now, if Daniel Bryan has gone to other places and he's gotten clearance from different doctors, then you need to put that evidence against WWE's doctor. But if his contract does come to an end, he has to make a choice whether he's going to go Ring of Honor or wherever he's going to go. When do you know when his contract is up?
The one rumor I read was September, but I don't know if that's official. He makes these subtle hints, like it could be this month or this month, and I don't think anybody officially knows for sure, but it seems like it's going to be fairly soon here.
Okay, well, if he's allowed to, I don't see him wrestling, but I can see him, if his contract, let's say his contract ends in August, right? I can see him making an appearance at that Bullet Club show if he really wants to go outside of WWE. Apparently, I mean, he's even said himself, he does not like the role he's currently in.
And it doesn't translate all that well either.
No, he doesn't like it. You can tell the guy is miserable. He wants to be an in-ring performer. But like I said before, you got a wife, man. You got a daughter. You got to think about them. And you got to think about your health. I mean, if there's something wrong with you where you are not, they're not letting you perform, then they're not letting you perform for a reason.
Right. True.
You know? So, I mean, there it is. I mean, then in Japan, they work a stronger style.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
We also have, as we close out here, Frank, just announced a couple hours ago, the Dudley Boys have been announced for the WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, let's face it, the Dudley Boys should be in any Hall of Fame. A great tag team, definitely deserve it. And then, of course, they've already announced that Bill Goldberg is going to headline this year's WrestleMania class.
Pretty strong class so far.
Yeah, really, really strong. And any other names you've heard, Frank, that you think might be a good possibility this year?
No, but I mean, damn, man, you know.
This is the time of year you hear all these names. So
it's the time of year you hear a lot of names, but I haven't heard, you know, any names. I mean, the only one I heard as far as celebrity wing goes, which, I mean, yeah, they were talking about Kid Rock.
Ugh.
Right.
Ugh.
I mean, if you want to induct a celebrity into the, and he's a musician, you want to induct a celebrity, why not induct Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit? Because I'm going to tell you why. That song, My Way, that was the rock and song cold story for WrestleMania 17, man. That, I mean, his music, and then on top of that, Roland from The Undertaker.
Excellent.
He's made a hell of a contribution to WWE. So if that's one guy I would induct, would be Fred Durst.
I'm going to throw it out there. I think about it every year at this time. Davey Boy Smith should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, they have a petition going on out there, but, dude, they're not going to go by that petition. They're going to go by, and we already know how the Hall of Fame works. It's a guy sitting in his office,
yep.
And he makes a decision, and he sends Triple H out there to make peace with these people, to make amends. And that's how it happens. Okay, that's why Goldberg's going in. So
well,
it is what it is.
You're in good terms with Bret Hart, Diana Hart. Just get him in. Just get him in there now. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's definitely time.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Yeah, it's definitely time. Yeah, I mean, it's never gonna happen. But I would love to see them induct the Hart Foundation in there, into the Hall of Fame. But it's never gonna happen.
Probably not. And also, I want to mention as we close it. Also, Jonathan Coachman has been rehired by WWE. It looks like he's gonna take Booker T's place on the announced team for Raw. I always liked the coach. I think this is a good move. Love Booker T, one of my favorite all-time wrestlers, the Harlem Heat, but as a commentator, he sucks. I'll just put it out there. I mean, I'm pretty blatant. I like the coach. I think he's entertaining. It's been a while since we've heard him. I think this is only a positive move, but I'm not a big Corey Graves fan either, so what do I know?
Well, I mean, Corey is he's all right. I mean, he just tries to be too much like Jesse Ventura. It's like, dude, be yourself.
Yeah. And I know you're not a football fan, but any thoughts on the XFL?
Well, if Vince has $100 million to waste, put it into the pyro.
I can't believe this. This is just so ridiculous to me. I mean,
he's giving it 2 years. So we got 2 years for the same launches, right? So, look, man, it
why
might work.
Though? Why?
It might work. Because Vince has an ego, man. He failed it before, so he wants to try
right.
it again. And don't be surprised if you see the don't be surprised if you see the return of the World Bodybuilding Federation along with it.
Oh my God, that's what I mean. I mean, you have to know when to pull the plug and say, "Hey, it didn't work. We tried." You know, it's what was XFL was what 2001.
Yeah.
2001. It's 2000, and this will come back, 2020?
Right.
2020. They're talking about, basically, they don't want to call it a spring league, but it's going to start right after the NFL season, end of January, early February, when it's the time of year where football fans are just kind of done with football. Right? You know, you take a break. I mean, it's not like wrestling where it goes 52 weeks.
Right.
I mean, end of the football season, it's over. You had the playoffs, you had the regular season, you had all your bowl games in college, and now that's it. And now you got XFL, it's eight cities, they're talking about no half times. I don't know, man. I can't see it. I'm a big football fan, love the NFL, but NFL's popularity, this year the ratings were way down. I know a lot of it was that Colin Kaepernick, you know, kneel in for the national anthem, but I mean, Vince, I mean, you know, like you said, if you want to burn $100 million, there's other options to do out there.
Yeah, spend that money on pyro, spend it on, you know, paying for some of these music clearances on the network. I mean, damn, he has $100 million of his own money to spend for some football, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, look here, man. The NFL is rigged any damn way, so. What's happening here? You got the Patriots. I call them John Cena. Okay, that's what I call them.
They always win, right?
Exactly. You got the Patriots up here against the Eagles. So, I mean, who do you really think is going to win that?
Oh, I think the Patriots are going to win.
Damn right they are.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Just like last year, I watched Super Bowl last year. I'm like, the Falcons got this, and then all of a sudden they started like, what the hell is going on here?
It looked like a pro wrestling script.
Exactly, it does every year. I'm telling you, the Patriots, they always come back in the second half, man.
I don't know how you blow a 25-point lead. I mean, it seems like pro wrestling, where you just let somebody beat the living crap out of you for forever and work every body part, and then you do the Hulk up. Ooh, yeah, brother, now I'm going to kick your butt, and I point at you, and now you're done. And they were done. So.
Oh well, but you just mixed up two different people there. You get the "Ooh yeah, brother." That's hey man, that's Macho.
Yeah, I guess I was still thinking about the Raw 25 because I, you know, Macho was what, the first commentator on the first show.
Yeah, him and Rob Bartlett. Yep,
yeah,
man, so, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about a guy who couldn't be there. Unfortunately, was the Macho Man, one of the all time greats. So
yep, sure was.
Yep.
Hey, man, Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gerardo Monsoon.
Rest in peace. There'll just never be anybody like those guys. It's just the way it is. So.
Right.
But, hey, if you made it this far through the podcast, we want to say thank you very much, and we want to say thank you for everybody's been reaching out and saying, you know, where's the Gerwick Report podcast? When are you going to bring it back? And, you know, we were inspired to come back, talk about the Royal Rumble, give you some thoughts on what's currently going on. And if you like the show, you know, give us a thumbs up, spread the word, tweet, retweet, Instagram, Facebook, pin set, whatever it is out there. You know, spread the word about us. Text your friends. Let them know. New episode. You know, we're on different platforms. Just prefer you to listen to us right through Gerwick.net. We're on the front page. Just go to the player and hit play. And definitely check out Gerwick.net for all the late-breaking wrestling news. Always appreciate the support. And we'll talk to you later.